Hello and welcome to the Tech Tips webinar series presented by the U.S. Small Business Administration and Microsoft. I'm Adalberto Quijada, Director of the SBA's Santa Ana District Office. The SBA's simple but important mission is to help people start and grow businesses that create jobs and power our economy forward. We do this by providing billions of dollars in access to capital, working to ensure small businesses earn their fair share of federal contracts, and by funding a nationwide network of mentors and experts in every field of business. To find your local resources, please visit sba.gov. Small business owners need to understand the importance of technology in running profitable and efficient ventures. That's why I am very pleased my office led the effort to establish this partnership with Microsoft as we present a series of webinars to help you utilize technology in running and growing your business. We're proud to inform, educate, and connect entrepreneurs, and we thank you for viewing today's webinar.
Good afternoon, members of the SBA. Thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the SBA Tech Tips Hour with Microsoft. We're so proud to be partnered with the Small Business Administration to provide you these great ideas and on how to, you know, better increase your organization, as well as help you understand technology in general. So today, we've got a great show. We're going to be talking about the power of business process with SharePoint. What we're going to cover is some great ideas around how to explain to many of the members that are on this show today what they're probably already using today, as well as help you understand how to properly utilize technology that will help your business grow. So my name is Sherman Krantzer, and I'm the Senior Partner Channel Development Manager for the Western United States. And I specialize in helping, you know, small to medium-sized businesses understand technology. So on the screen, you will see my contact information. If you ever need to get a hold of me, you can reach me by phone or an email, skrantzer@microsoft.com. I'm a LinkedIn open networker, so please send me the invitation, and I'd be happy to accept your invite. And you can follow me on Twitter at Sherman Krantzer. So let's get into the agenda for today. So the power of business process with SharePoint is really, we're gonna introduce you to a guest speaker, one of my favorite people in the whole world. We're gonna talk about Sixth Street, the company they work for, the background and kind of how they think about things. We'll do an overview of business process, and we'll talk about some examples, some common objectives, and then we will summarize the whole scenario for you. So let's go ahead and introduce our guest speaker. Her name is Michelle Hollis, and she works for a company called Sixth Street Consulting, and you can always reach her here, 310-694-3844, or michelle.hollis@sixthstreetconsulting. She works for a company that is probably the best partner in the Western United States, and I'm proud to have her on here. They are thought leaders, they are innovators. And Michelle, could you possibly just introduce yourself and kind of give us a little background of who you are?
Sure, Sherman, thank you. And thanks for having me here today. SBA, shout out to all you. It's exciting to be able to be here and share some of the information that we've kind of garnered over the years and working with SharePoint. I've been in the industry for a really long time, a bit of a dinosaur, but ostensibly a cool dinosaur, at least the millennials that I work with tend to think that way. And I'm happy to be here, and I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of my journey and how I've looked at business process throughout the years. And I've started out in the early 80s. Working for an entertainment firm. I was the 12th person hired by Norman Lear for his third act and his a company called Act Three. working in the entertainment industry. I just moved here from Chicago, and I was lucky enough to have some great mentors who really kind of guided me into technology, and I just took a passion for it and started working very early on with various local area networks and things like that. So I've had the privilege over the last 30 years to be in this industry and see many a business process fall by the wayside. So, you know, a lot of companies that I've seen over the years have adopted technology just for the sake of technology and not really to help them be more productive in with their businesses and get to a goal. So we'll go through a little bit of background on and definition of what business process is today. And then I want to talk a little bit about Sixth Street Consulting. I've had my own company for about 10 years, and a couple years ago, I started working with the Sixth Street team and was just, I joke that it took me that long to find a CEO that I admired enough to want to work with again. So it's my honor that I'm now one of the directors at Sixth Street. And with that, I think we can, oh, I have controls, sorry.
Well, no, thank you very much. You know, so, you know, Michelle, you know, obviously, you know, my opinion is that Sixth Street and their Microsoft Partner of the Year is, you know, one of the best organizations really to talk to regarding this. And what I wanted to do is just kind of ask you real quick, you know, what is your unique approach? And I think not necessarily as a commercial for your company, but I know that you guys have a bit of a unique approach on how businesses are enabled or how you help them.
Thanks, Sherman. Yeah, one of the things that I would say is the most unique thing about us is that we put business before technology. At Sixth Street, we'll have some clients come to us and ask questions and say, I want to go to a paperless office, or I want to do this, I want to do that. And we really take a look at making sure that we're providing the $20,000 solution to the $100,000 problem, as opposed to the $10,000 solution to the $1,000 problem. So I think that it's not only the way we market ourselves, but we live by those words every day, by listening to our clients and making sure that we're putting them first.
Yeah, understanding business processes is really, 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 really important. Understanding the client is really important. All right, so, you know, kind of moving on to the next slide, this kind of, you know, lends a little bit of credibility of what you're doing. So can you just possibly cover that?
Yeah, we're really proud of the fact, we were named Microsoft Partner of the Year for collaboration and content in 2013, and later on in the presentation, I'll share an example of what got us there. It was for a smart cop application, and it just really gave us the benefit of Microsoft recognizing that we were out there in the leading edge and really putting collaboration at its forefront. And we may have maintained Microsoft Gold partnership for many, many years. And I'm very proud of the fact that Northrop Grumman had announced us Supplier of the Year a couple years ago. And that's a pretty tough award to get.
Yeah, that's an amazing award. All right, so let us get into, you know, the basics, you know, business process for some small to medium-sized businesses. It's kind of one of those big question marks where we kind of understand the definition, but we might not understand how that applies to businesses, you know, that small to medium-sized businesses, right? What is it exactly? How does it go together? So, you know, maybe Michelle, you can maybe help us understand, you know, what, you know, business process is.
Absolutely. I know, Sherman, when we first started talking about me being a guest speaker today, you said, you know, put out a definition of business process. So, of course, went to Wikipedia. And one of the key pieces, when you're looking at a business process, it really is the collection of distinct tasks and structured tasks that you in your company do on a daily basis. If that's making sure that, you know, coffee is made every morning by 8, that's a business process. You want people to have caffeine. But one of the things that I really like about this definition is it's not only a set of activities or tasks for a specific product or service, that it serves a particular goal. And if you're wondering why we have this picture here, can anyone tell me what that is? Would you know? Has anyone seen this? I'm pretty sure anyone under the age of 35 probably has never seen one of these. But this is a mimeograph. And this is actually a mimeograph with purple ink, which was kind of cool. I can't say I used one just like that, but in grade school, I remember it being an honor that I was able to go over and make, you know, 20 or 30 copies of a flyer for a teacher, and then you had to refill the ink in the dome, and it was just, you know, it's like, all right, cool, I get out of class and I get to play with wet ink. And if y'all remember inkjet printers and things like that, if you grabbed it off the printer too quick, it smeared all over everything. One of the reasons that I show this is that I find in business, and when particularly small businesses, they're looking at automating their processes and, you know, their crucial business processes, and they don't take a look at what's working in the manual side of things. I mean, at the time, a mimeograph worked perfectly. You know, it did, nothing else was available, and that was a way for you to get multiple copies without handwriting everything. So one of the reasons that I showed this is, you know, to kind of have everyone take a step back. If you were still using a process like this in order to make copies, how much more would you proof something before it went out? How much more care and attention would you give to something as opposed to hitting the send button on that email and saying, oh, I didn't mean to say it that way, or something like that. So I just wanted to kind of, in my dinosaur theme of this presentation, take us back a little bit to, you know, let's make sure the manual processes in place are working and then automate them as best as possible.
You know, let's go back to that. I think another great example, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but, you know, take a company like McDonald's, right? And, you know, when did they start? You know, 20, 30 years ago. But what they have shown is the ability, okay, to have 2 and 3 and 4, you know, franchises to, you know, going over the thousands and having across the world. But in order for them to do that, they needed to have processes in place, you know, literally down to, you know, how do they make a hamburger, right, with the buns and the meat and the ketchup and the mustard. But they wanted to be able to do that repeatedly over the same period of time and then get faster at that every second, right? And, you know, McDonald's is probably one of the best examples of it because they have business processes for literally everything, every moment of their day, you know, starting from the way the cash register, the person at the cash register actually rings things up to how many seconds it takes to get them. You know, they're constantly refining the process to say, okay, well, you know, are there, this is just trying for example here, right? You know, are the French fries, you know, close enough to get them so that we could have, you know, the whole package out the window within like 15 seconds, right? So that's really, you know, business process, you know, kind of on the brick and mortar side, but, you know, that also applies to business. You know, utilizing software. So, you know, from that standpoint, Michelle, what do you think about that example?
Well, I would say, that's a great example of business process and also of quality control, which is yet another business process. But when you have it to that level of detail so that it can be repetitive on a regular basis. Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So let's get into, you know, how do most companies work today, in your opinion? Can you kind of give us an idea about that?
Absolutely. You know, it's, I go back to the mimeograph, that's how you used to make copies, but today email has really, really become the most popular medium. You know, I mean, if I look at my daughters, I think, you know, okay, texting and Instagram and Snapchat might be theirs, but in the business world, small, medium business, absolutely, you're in your email. You're communicating with your clients. And you have to wonder today, is email just a communication medium? Is it a sales business process? I have some examples here on the screen. You know, it was my third year as treasurer for the International Association of Microsoft Channel Partners here in Southern California. And on LinkedIn, of course, it automatically tags your anniversaries. So my inbox was full of congratulations, Michelle, as you see in the second slide there, in the middle slide. But I like to joke because I can always tell who's personalized it, because if they just see it and they hit send congratulations and don't personalize the message, I usually hit the delete key, because that's not really, you know, that's LinkedIn's marketing machine going, and that's great. I use that as well. But there's other instances where, you know, I look at the top email up here, it's resume alerts. I'm constantly looking for good members of our team. So I have various searches for resumes to come up, so that if somebody has a particular set of skills, I'm automatically served up that information. So for me, that's part of my recruiting process, and that's a business process. It's self-serve information there as you need it. And then the third email at the bottom is one that I'll be going into a little bit more, but you know, how many times do you send an email out where you're asking people to review documents? And is it multiple people? Do you end up getting 6 or 7 versions of that document back? You know, things like that. So email is pervasive in our lives today as small businesses. And I think getting a handle on that and, you know, knowing how to best use automation leads us right into document review and intranets, company intranets.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this one stat, but the average small to medium-sized business owner gets 151 emails per day.
Wow.
Yeah. I used to think that was a lot. And then I looked at my inbox, and it's about 320. So, yeah, very interesting. But also, you know, most people delete a lot of their emails just right off the bat. They'll read their first couple of sentences. But I really like your example of, you know, automating some of these things, the resume, you know, search that you had. I really do, as well as the document sharing example that you put up, I think is really interesting, because there's a lot of the small to medium-sized businesses out there that are, you know, sharing documents back and forth, right? Like a lot of times. Here's version 1, version 2, version 5, version 12. Who's got the version, right? And then you're like, what did I save? So I think that's a great thing. So let's move into, you know, we're kind of breaking this down into a step-by-step process. And we want to get into what is the intranet. Now, before I let Michelle get on this, the intranet is something I think a lot of us have heard about. I bet you about 90% of us are probably actually utilizing some form of it at a company that you're working for, you know, but you might not really quite understand it. So that's what we're kind of, you know, building this house up here and kind of going through these things here. So Michelle, you know, help us understand, you know, what the intranet is.
Wow, an intranet can be so all encompassing for your company. It could be place for you to share social media with other employees. It could be a place, and we're going to go through quite a few different examples of this today, but it should be an authoritative source for all of your company's internal information. Now, with some intranets, we can share some documents externally, but an intranet should be the place for you to really run your business processes and share information internally within your company. And going back to the email example that I had, where, you know, you attach an email. Well, the way we used to do it is we used to put a post-it note around it on a paper document and pass it around to individual after individual. And one of the things that's awesome about an intranet is the document review and feedback process that you can do really in an automated fashion. And it doesn't have to be, this example is in SharePoint, but people use Google Docs and other things. I mean, it's a company intranet is a company intranet, but we specialize in SharePoint, so I'm kind of showing you everything in SharePoint. But here, I'd like to show that you can see on the screen, you've got a bunch of documents, and this is one of the areas that we use internally at our company. And I want to be able to have other people review this document. So I just right-clicked on the document, and I have a bunch of different options that I can do. I can get a link and share that, and I can open the document, do a multitude of things with that document. But here, by getting a link and sharing it with someone via email, it leaves the document in the intranet. So you're not sending out 5 different hard copies attached to an email. You can then have everybody go to the link and actually edit it simultaneously, which is pretty cool. And one of the other things that SharePoint does is it allows you to keep version histories. So in a future slide, I'll be going through like file shares and how some companies share information or keep their documents in order. But if you've got it on an intranet, then you're able to add a lot of other features and functions and be able to share documents and have it revised and edited and or approved while it sits in one place. And you don't have 10 different copies of the same document that then you're trying to redline and cut and paste and smash together.
So the intranet also, you know, just kind of frame it a little bit differently. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, you know, Michelle. The intranet, when I was working for other big organizations, and actually even Microsoft, we would come into the office, we would sign in, right? And we would go to, it looked like internet, but it really wasn't. It was really a place that was behind a security firewall that we would go to access all of the company documents, as well as have permissions. We could only go into certain places or not go into certain places. Marketing was there, you know, the HR benefits and that kind of thing. Would that be a good, accurate description or another description of what an intranet is?
Absolutely. But in this case, like specific to the document review, you could even share this external to your company. So if you've got a partner that you're working with that also has some input, or maybe you're subcontracting to someone as a small business, I know, you know, you always need burst capacity. You can't do it always with your own staff. Mm-hmm. So you'd be able to share this document externally and give that person either review rights or review and edit rights, and then still get the same feedback back to that singular document.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for that. That's a great add into that. All right, so I'll let you go with the rest of this this part of the deck.
Okay, and the next one is absolutely one of my favorites. It is the alert process. Now, I've got a team of sales reps and we do weekly goal setting. And unbeknownst to them, it took them a while until they figured this out. If we had, or we have regular scheduled meetings on Wednesdays, so they have to update their weekly goal setting form. It's got the top 3 things they did last week, the top 3 things they want to accomplish this week, anything that they need help with, things like that. So, as my team got bigger, I was like, I've got to have a way to know, for myself as a manager, to be more prepared for them coming in and meeting with me. So, and it just, I set up an alert. There's this really cool thing that you can do that with any documents or an entire library within the internet or within SharePoint. And it, you can say, I want to know when this document's changed. And I want you to send me an email when this document's changed. Or you can say, I want you to text me. If in the version of document review and feedback, if you were urgently waiting for, you know, 5 or 6 people to review and approve a document, and you needed to get it to a client, or you needed to get it to contracting, whatever, you would be able to set this up to alert you as soon as it was changed and have it text you. So if you were out at a meeting or you weren't right in front of your desktop, you would be able to get a text message saying, okay, it's been updated. And then you could go in and see if there were any reviews, needed to do any edits, and or if it was approved. So that's a pretty cool alert feature there. But in this case with my team, I always used, you know, I would get, you know, one guy, of course, would always come in and be scrambling Wednesday morning, and I would see him frantic because he forgot to do his weekly goal setting. And then I had a woman working for me, and she was consistently always looked at weekly goal setting Tuesday morning, made sure she had updates, and then would just do minor edits on Wednesday morning or late Tuesday night. So one of the things it enabled me to do was basically create kind of like a coaching process. I have this set up so that every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. it sends me an alert, a summary of all the times each of my team has changed their documents and or if they haven't touched it yet. So by 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, because I don't want 100 emails with every alert every time one of the reps goes in the document. So, and as I was saying with the email examples before, we all get too much email. Sherman shared, you know, the average small business gets 150. So you don't want to fill your inbox up with an extra 100 emails a week. So I would do this. So I do this so that every Wednesday morning, I get a summary of who has edited the document or if somebody has or has not. Then it enables me as a manager to know which folks I need to coach on my team so that if they're consistently bad at time management, because if you can't fill out something you know is due every week, the likelihood of you following up with customers might not be as good. And it also allowed me to really promote and reward the folks that were consistently doing that. And in sales, you can usually tell, you know, the ones that are consistently following up as they should are getting the commissions and those rewards. But this was just a good way for me to implement a process that was non-invasive to my team, and non-invasive to my email inbox, but really gave me the information that I needed on a weekly basis in order to manage my team more effectively. So that's just another example of a good way, and simple. It's clicking three or four buttons, and it goes on in perpetuity.
And it's simple, and it's secure, right? It's a secure way of doing that, and that's a process that you put in, and that gives you great or better insights to the way your team is actually performing or working. And really, any company can put something like that together in actually a pretty short period of time. Is that correct?
Yes, this is out of the box SharePoint, so it comes with it. If you move documents into there and create the library, I like the fact that you mentioned secure, because no one else on the team knew, had the rights to be able to see and set the alerts up like I did. But with me as their manager, I was able to do that based on the permissionings we had. So it's not like, you know, they could check out, you know, which teammate wasn't doing what they were supposed to. So it was really just a good way for, it's a good way for me to continue to manage the team.
So is OneDrive SharePoint? Or is it like just a small portion of what SharePoint is?
OneDrive's like Dropbox, isn't it?
No. OneDrive, Dropbox. There are other organizations and other companies that do SharePoint, similar programs as SharePoint. We want to make that disclaimer here. It's not just a SharePoint commercial, you know. But OneDrive, a lot of us have, you know, cloud and Dropbox. That's basically a form of a business process manager or business process software.
I think OneDrive is a good way to allow you to work anywhere at any time from any device and allow you to sync with not only documents in SharePoint and actions, but also share other information external to your company.
I was thinking probably more about, you know, that's just a sliver of what a SharePoint, what a document management type of process management type system would be able to do. There's so many more things, but people do have access to basically a SharePoint type of scenario with either, you know, Dropbox or OneDrive. So that's what I was trying to go with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only reason I kind of cringe when I hear document management on OneDrive, that kind of takes us back. If any of you have a file server, in your offices and you have an L drive or a Z drive, a shared drive, where you put documents into, and you've got pretty much the same type of folder structure as you did with a file cabinet back in the day when they were all paper files. So SharePoint has, tools like SharePoint have the capability of adding metadata and tagging and adding extra information in order for you to be able to collaborate and manage documents more efficiently. So with OneDrive, if you're using it to sync and keep all of your information onto the devices you want, that's probably one of the best ways to use it.
Fantastic.
Okay. Now, I know this probably seems like a lesson in history here.
Yeah.
But yes, the old typewriter, and if we still had carbon copy today, uh-huh. And yes, I did used to not type on one this old. I'm not that much of a dinosaur. But I wanted to highlight once again the definition of business process and the fact that small companies should take a look at business processes as a way to serve a particular goal. That it doesn't have to be all-encompassing, it mm-hmm. doesn't have to reinvent the wheel, but most importantly, you don't take a broken manual process and try to replicate it exactly with automation and technology, because then all you have, and the old adage is garbage in, garbage out, then all you've got is the same poor business process that you used to struggle with manually with in an automated fashion.
Great. So if you move on to your next slide, I think we wanted to kind of go over file and document management and file sharing. Why don't you help us understand that?
Okay, great. Excuse me. Because I don't really have, we don't have a file share anymore at our company. I mean, we're a small company. We're 20 plus folks. I had to kind of recreate this on my C drive. So this example specifically shows what some company's file shares would look like. Like I've got, this PC, desktop, documents, and then underneath documents, I start with a file folder structure. I've got clients, list of some of our clients underneath there. And then as treasurer, we just got done having an awesome golf tournament at Tustin Ranch. So you can see a little further down in the example, IMCP SoCal 2016, and then the golf tournament, and our sponsors all sent us logos and things like that. And then also within IMCP, I've got the treasurer folder, etc. But you can imagine when multiple people within your company are working on this, and you've created a drive, a shared drive, and a set of folders very similar to a file cabinet, it can start getting nested very, very deep. I mean, underneath one of our clients, say Earnest, I could have five or six other folders there. It could be project documents, it could be sales related documents, it could be accounting and operations documents, and trying to search in order to be able to find things within this structure is not an easy task. Yes, you've got the global search bar up above, but you really have to remember and set standards for how you do this and where people put documents. And what if someone puts the wrong document in one of the folders and you still can't find it? And this also goes to the way, the old way of thinking, where you had to, if multiple people were working on a document or if you were going through a contracting process with someone, that you would end up putting V1, V2, V3 for the versions, or dating each file that you had. And it turns into a mess and a lot of extra space that you have to accommodate for. Now, that is one of the areas where OneDrive is a significant help, because you can keep all those documents up in the cloud, but it's still not the easiest way for you to be able to find and really create the process of being able to search for documents and find what you need at your fingertips in the shortest amount of time.
Now, I think it's, you know, sometimes with document management, even myself, I feel like I'm searching for a white bunny in a snowdrift. You know, like, where is that document? Last night, I couldn't even find your document, and I really spent like 40 minutes, you know, doing that. And I tell you, but, you know, being able to you know, not turn into that proverbial pumpkin, you know, looking for, you know, a file or something was, oh man, I tell you. So that's a great explanation of that. You know, why don't we get into, let's see, we went over the file and document management, and then where are we? We're on the company intranet, is that correct?
Yes, we're still there.
Okay.
Because this goes, the company intranet is so all-encompassing, okay, and can be so all-encompassing for you to be able to manage documents. Before, I was kind of showing how to, you know, set the alerts and use that as a business process so that you can keep up with members of your team. I think going back to that, just anecdotally, if you've got folks in a warehouse that are pulling items and you want to make sure that they're updating their input at the end of the day, you could have a daily summary of alerts sent for the end of the day. So this isn't just for a consulting business. I just use that as an example, the way I manage my team. But moving on to from the file share to using document management within your intranet, as you can see here, I did a search up at the top of the screen, and we do something called responsive design. And in our industry, that's making sure that something that you can see on your desktop, you can also see on a tablet, an iPhone, an iPad, et cetera, across many different form factors. So we call that responsive design. And I had a proposal to get out to a client, and I wanted to see the last set of proposals that we had, or and or other project documents that we had that had responsive design. So this screen illustrates where I just searched for the word responsive design. Now, one of the things that not only does it search for all of the information within the PDFs, the Excel files, the Word documents, etc., but we also have tagging when we check documents into our intranet that allow us to say, was this responsive design? Was this custom development? Was this a SharePoint 2010 to 2013 migration? So I chose responsive design because that was the keywords that I was looking for, and it was able to pull up all of the documents in a second for me.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And I think, you know, to frame it from, you know, if you're using, you know, one of those file sharing, the smaller ones that we had talked about earlier, but now you're moving, your business is getting bigger, you're having employees, you really need to have something that you can, you know, find stuff a lot easier, right? If you're a chef that is running a whole bunch of different restaurants and you need to put up those delicious recipes, you know, at a different place where they can all, you know, get them, you're really need to kind of move forward and go into that intranet site. All right, so let's move forward. You know, we're at about 22 minutes to go, so we want to talk about, you know, can you help us, you know, and talk us about some examples so that the audience can kind of like frame it and kind of like think, okay, well, my business could do this, right? My business could do that. So why don't we get into those?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know I've probably been a little centric to the way I work and some of the processes within our company, but I wanted to share some examples of what we've done with some of our clients. You know, here we have the Annenberg Foundation, great family nonprofit. I'm sure most everybody on the call has heard of Annenberg in some way, shape, or form, but they really wanted to use their intranet not only for generic things like standard operating procedures and accounting and finance and being able to get to expense reports quickly, as you see on the bottom left of the screen, but they also wanted, on the bottom right, they have our Annenberg and it's their social feeds. So they can see how they're trending in the industry and who's up on social, who's saying things about them, and respond quickly to some of the social media out there that's very important to them and their image. So this is just another example of, you know, how quickly with And this is SharePoint. This is the same as the boring screens I was showing you in the last few slides. This is basically SharePoint out of the box with a little bit of branding and some web parts. So you can make your intranet look as appealing as possible so that your internal folks want to use it, and as simple as possible, as you can see, like with the accounting and finance piece in the bottom left, just quick, intuitive, little round circles, and they can go right into it and get to the documents they need.
Those are some great examples. We have a great intranet site, and you kind of want to go see it because it's got a lot of pictures on it, and it looks just fantastic. You could theoretically configure some of these types of sites to be public facing too, right?
Absolutely. Great segue.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize it was going to be a segue. I was just thinking of that question. All right.
Just about a segue. But this one is one that we're really, really proud of. This is for the Orange County Fire Authority. And at the bottom right, you can see the same example of what they see at their desktop in the center of the screen that's actually in the fire trucks. So we were tasked with helping them migrate to SharePoint 2013 and get them to, they only have one login, a single sign-on solution, and they wanted to make sure that they wanted the Windows tile kind of look and feel, but it is pervasive across the entire Orange County Fire Authority, that from the firemen in the trucks to, you know, a supply, someone sitting at their desktop, or someone out at a meeting and on their phone, they can all get to the same critical information. And it doesn't matter if they're in the office or out saving lives. So that's a cool one, and just gives you a different look and feel for how you can make SharePoint work for your organization. It doesn't need to just be the list of documents. It can be more intuitive so that even if you're in a rush, you can get to the information you need right away.
Yeah, I think people like to have, and myself included, big buttons. Big buttons that know where you just push and you know that's where you're gonna go to find the right information, as opposed to, like a blind squirrel trying to find a nut, where is that, right? And I love that you can make these big tiles and easy to get to. All right, let's get into your next example.
Okay, Earnest Packaging. I don't know if anybody's seen any Earnest Packaging trucks on the road, but this is one of the coolest companies we've had the honor of working with. And if you ever want to see Tony Hawk on a skateboard made of cardboard or a Lexus made out of cardboard, check out Earnest's website because they've got some really cool stuff. And what they do is they make packaging solutions. They make boxes. But very, very inventive and creative. And with Earnest, what we tried to do is, they sell boxes. They sell a lot of boxes. And they needed a way to have their customers be able to get some self-service information. So this is all, this is external and internal facing. So their order desk and their customer relationship managers are able to see recent orders through the system, but their customers are now also able to come into a portal and check what their most recent order was. If the pricing is the same, then they're able to request a new order or request a new quote and place an order. And Earnest has a very good culture of making sure, they want to make sure that their CRMs or customer relationship managers are constantly talking with their clients, and they have a specific cadence of when they want them to, make sure that they reach out and give them personal attention. But they also wanted to free up some of the CRM's time and let their customers, let it be easier for their customers to order and check their most recent orders and things like that. So we created this portal for them. And once again, this was responsive design. It was able to be used on an iPad, iPhone, and desktop, so that if the CRMs were out in the field and they wanted to check on something for a customer while they were meeting with the customer, then they were able to get that information quickly as well. And it's all secure through Microsoft's general security, sorry.
Okay.
No that was the non-technical question, technical answer for that.
All right, well, let's get into this next one. I think it's Bobrick, and I'm a loss for words, right, as far as, you know, seeing a real different spin on something and how it's used. Let's go into that one.
You know, this is the one of the ones that I just get tickled about because, you know, I don't know how many people have heard of Bobrick, but I sure hadn't until they were a client of ours. They basically, like, if you see one of those koala baby changing tables in a bathroom, in a public facility, it probably came from Bobrick. And they came to us, they had a very, very large, or a huge manual process where if, say, I'm a contractor and I'm going to be renovating 20 bathrooms at LAX in one of the terminals. Well, in order for me to submit my bid to LAX, I would have to go in and or pick up the phone or email a request and say, I need spec sheets for this bathroom door, for this sink, for this hand towel holder, for this hand dryer, for, you know, everything from A to Z that you've ever seen in a bathroom. And then people within Bobrick would specifically go find all of those spec sheets within their organization, have to package it up in order to send it to the contractor, who then probably sent it to their general contractor, because I'm sure LAX isn't just going to hire somebody to just do the bathrooms. They would have a general contractor above them, and it would often take, you know, somewhere between 2 and 5 days to get all of those spec sheets to the right people, because it was a very manual business process. They had somebody, and it wasn't like they were all on paper, but they had to go find those documents. They had to make sure that they were the exact specification down to the nuts and bolts, and then package all of that up into one PDF and send it to the subcontractor or general contractor. Now, the general contractor can come in, view the spec sheets themselves, make sure that they've got everything they need, and it packages it up into a PDF for them. The entire proposal is down to, like, it's self-serve, so it's down to an hour or less. It's absolutely incredible the amount of time this saved.
Well, that's a great, another example of a good business process, right? Mm-hmm. That you put together that helped, you know, Bobrick, you know, increase efficiency. Right, cut down costs, increase their overall margins. And so if you're a small business, you might want to think about, okay, what are some of these things that we could do? If you're a contractor, or you're, you know, you're an attorney, or you're something like that, think of the business processes that you might be able to think about, and then now use a, you know, use a program that can do it. All right, so let's talk about, you know, let's kind of change gears here. You know, what are some of the features that businesses need to have, in your opinion?
Yeah, now we get into, like, more of the boring financial stuff, but businesses need that. You need to know what your KPIs are. You need to know how your business is running. So not as spiffy as the other screens, but we had a company that managed various resorts, and they wanted a way to be able to see how the revenue was going at each of the resorts, and quickly at a glance, without going through reams of financial paper, we just served up this information on a very simple dashboard, and you could see immediately that the third one on the left wasn't doing that well. So at a glance, they can get attention. This, if you're running the company and you get this dashboard up to you every morning, you can say, wait a minute, let's make sure we're focusing our attention on the one that's in red, and or look at what we need to do to maybe eschew the one that's in red, and how can we make the ones that are green and moving in the right direction more profitable.
Business intelligence, that's the key thing. I love it. All right, so, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, a specific product, but we want to talk about another one, is actually another company, okay, and how it works seamlessly, and we want to name them. So, Michelle, I'll let you go ahead and say the name of the other organization that provided, you know, a very similar program.
Yes, one of the, and I'm going to say SharePoint first, but one of the greatest things about SharePoint is it can attach to just about anything and talk to and pull data from and render it the way you want it. So if it's SAP, I mean, anything across the board, people, in this case, it was PeopleSoft. We had an organization that wanted to be able to see org charts, and it was integrated. They were a smaller section of a smaller subsidiary of a larger organization, but they still had to interact and needed some organizational chart information from the parent organization. So we were able to integrate and pull up organizational charts directly from PeopleSoft information. And because PeopleSoft was updated every 12 hours, it was automatically updated in the way we viewed it. And once again, just a good example of business intelligence and how you can connect. It doesn't have to be just Microsoft.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a business process. Yep. And it's thinking outside of the box. You probably have to be a little bit bigger company to be employing the PeopleSoft software. You're not the small, super small business. But it does just show you processes. How do you automate? How do you become more efficient? So let's move into, can you provide us, the key business processes, in your opinion, that SMB, needs to have?
Absolutely. I mean, some of the things, in this case, what we're showing is a services organization as far as alerting and looking at what computers are up and running and if there are any alerts from another system. I think in this case it was Level Platforms, but it was allowing us to see if all the computers were running successfully and things like that. And it gave us a quick dashboard of, what's going south and what's not working. But in this case, we could also apply that to maybe your receivables. Small business, you can't afford to have people paying 60, 90, 120 days. So if you bring up a key performance indicator dashboard that looks at any of your outstanding accounts receivables, when they're at 31 days to 35 days, 36 to 40, then 40 to 45, et cetera, then that will enable you to act upon that quicker and make sure that it's not a customer satisfaction issue. Make sure that it's not something that, did the invoice go out in a timely manner? Is it something that your accounting department might be, overloaded and the invoice was dated the 1st, but it really didn't go out till the 6th, things like that? Then it allows you to communicate with your customers quicker and make sure that you keep your receivables in line.
That's great. That's a good. All right, so let's move into the next key business process.
This is the eye chart, so if y'all need to get your glasses real quick, go for it. I know that I mentioned IMCP before, and this is something that we did for the International Association of Microsoft Channel Partners US site. We needed one place for many smaller organizations to be able to get to data and it always be the authoritative source. So we built out, it's not pretty, but it sure is effective. It allows us to get to all the information we need. It's the consistency from bylaws to each of the chapters, what's available on the US level versus down to within your chapter. So you can see the notes of the US board meetings. I think it even has a link to the international board meetings, and then each of the smaller chapters can get to the information they need as well. And then one of my favorites on the bottom left, I don't know if you can see that, but it says updated SOPs. SOPs, standard operating procedure. The CEO of our organization loves to look at and read books about the Army because, as similar to the way Sherman talked about McDonald's in the beginning of the presentation, the Army, is not able to deploy and react to things the way they do unless they wouldn't be able to do that unless they had awesome processes. So we are big fans of standard operating procedures, and it's just an easy, quick way. If you look at the bottom left, there's also some videos, and one of the things we find really effective, every laptop and phone has a camera on it now. Do a quick 2-minute video showing somebody how to do something. Toss that in your standard operating procedures, and you've just probably saved yourself an immense amount of time because you've showed them how you do it, how it's to be done, and it eliminates, it's got to be 1,000 questions. So that's another one of my favorites.
All right, let's get into the next one, media.
Okay. This is one of the ways we at Sixth Street manage our various videos. We do like videos, and be it training videos or information about accounts, if I've done a sales presentation, if we're talking about using our professional services automation tool ConnectWise and how you create a project, managing the assets that we have to know that we're, you know, it's okay for us to talk about customers and that we have their approvals and things like that. And one of the things this does on our intranet is it allows us to tag the video based on, you know, whether it's an internal training video or it's a process, an SOP video, if it's a marketing piece, and things like that. So it allows, it searches through the videos themselves, plus it gives us nice little thumbnails so that we can see kind of what's there and how to get to it quickly.
All right. Well, Michelle, thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. You know, you're obviously an expert in the industry. And you know, what I want to do here is just put up your contact information for the members of the Small Business Administration, the attendees of this call. If you need to get a hold of Michelle, you can always get her at michelle.hollis@6sc.com. And she's the director of Sixth Street Consulting. So, you know, we'll kind of leave this up for another second or two because we want to give that opportunity to the members of the group. All right, so in summary, you know, we've talked about business process. We've talked about what the intranet is, a company intranet. We talked about, you know, what companies are doing today, you know, a lot of different examples. And hopefully you took those examples and now you're going to be like, okay, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to help operationalize my business? How am I going to put business processes in so I can be more efficient, grow quicker, and, you know, basically grow your revenue streams, which is really why you're, you know, there and why you're in business and why you're talking to the SBA, right? Key strategies for business, we kind of talked about that. And, you know, maybe why you should engage with Sixth Street Consulting if you'd like to. For the SBA and Microsoft, we want to say thank you very much for attending. If you need to get a hold of me, you know, I'm a LinkedIn open networker, once again, so you can always just, you know, type in Sherman, you know, Crancer, and I will accept your invitation, or you can follow me at Twitter. But we are so happy to be here. You know, every once a month we come out here and we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what, you know, the members of the community want to hear. So, you know, next month we're going to have an incredible show, another guest speaker of mine, James Hoff, and he's going to come in and talk about something just fantastic, but I'm not going to tell you because we want you to join. Okay, so we'll send out the link and the invitation a little later on next week, but we want you to come back. It's always the first Tuesday of every month. The Small Business Administration and Microsoft in conjunction, you know, put this on for you. So before I sign off, I want to say once again, thank you, Michelle. Really appreciate it. Thank you to the Small Business Administration out of the Santa Ana office, Alberto Quijada, Christopher Lorenzana, and Sheree Coates. And thank you to the team here at the MTC, Kevin Palace, and Scott Case, and Dean Suzuki, and Carla Ramirez. Thank you so much, and have a great day. Bye-bye.